Good morning. That'll get you guarded going. If you're not touched by a video like that, I'm not sure what you are. But I want to point something out. So much of our life is about rules, and rules have a purpose and rules have a reason, but rules are not the end all. And I know he's going to get mad at me. A couple of kids are leaving this morning. They're only going for a little short trip. But if you were paying attention during the worship piece, and if you know Izzy at all, Izzy came in here, walked right up to her pop and Lammy, and gave them the biggest hug because she's going to miss them. And then her mama, as soon as Izzy walked out the door, her mama did the same thing. Katie walked in here. She walked up to her papa and gave him a big hug. And gave her mama a big hug. Broke every rule in the book. But they have a fantastic relationship. You're going to pass something on to your kids. What are you going to pass on? Pastor Steve started this series a few weeks ago. That goes right in line with this message, by the way. Pastor Steve started this series a few weeks ago, actually 7 weeks ago, going through the book of Galatians. And Galatians is really just about the gospel. It's the essential aspect of the gospel. There's no strings attached. It's all about grace. He just gave a 6 different messages. There's no other good news than the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can't add anything to it. You can't take anything away from it. There's no power in factions or individual erroneous convictions. Just because you tell me to do something, if it doesn't align with the gospel, shut up. I love you, but shut up. I'm not going to go through your rituals. I'm not going to go through your factions. I'm not going to. I grew up in an era. If you don't pray an hour a day, then you're not spiritual enough. If you don't show up at church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Tuesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, you're not spiritual enough. I don't care about all that stuff. I just want to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, the fact that he loves me, that I can walk into a service at any point, at any time, and give somebody a hug and tell them I love them because that's what Jesus does for me. That's the gospel. That's Galatians. That's what Pastor Steve's been talking about. We must be willing to take a stand for the good news of Jesus. Your salvation is no better than the salvation of the person in front of you, behind you, to the right of you, to the left of you, above you, below you. Your salvation is just like theirs. It's a salvation that Jesus gave you, free and clear, no strings attached. Don't judge somebody else because their salvation looks different than your salvation. I don't have your background and you don't have mine. I don't know what you've been saved from other than sin, but I know what I've been saved from, and I can't wait to give it all back to Jesus. That's just me. If y'all don't know me, I'm Chris. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm just authentic. It's just me. I'm not going to sugarcoat this. Jesus came for all, and last week, I got a kick out of Steve's sermon title on this one. I don't want Charles in charge, and you probably don't either. I don't want the law to be in charge of me. I don't want some erroneous, felonious, stupid, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this, you got to do that to be in charge of what I'm called to do and who I'm called to be in Jesus. And there's a reason I don't want that. Because what we're going to see today is Papa's got me. And that granddaughter... And that daughter walked in here because they knew Mama and Papa got me. They didn't care what you thought. They didn't care who saw. They didn't care anything other than getting a hug from Mom and Pop before they left. And if you don't have that kind of relationship with Jesus, I hope you do before you leave here today. That's what Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7 is all about. Have you ever noticed how two kids can grow up in the same house, same family, same parents, and yet one grows up feeling secure, and one grows up spending their entire life trying to figure out who they are? One obeys because they're loved, the other obeys because they're afraid. One knows they belong, and the other struggles with their identity. Paul says this in the last part of chapter 3 and the first part of chapter 4. One is like a child, and the other is like a slave. What makes the difference? I don't know, other than what we're going to see here today. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3 out of the Message, because I really love the way that it puts it. He says this: let me show the implications of this. And he's referring back to chapter 3, and the implications of this is being under the law. As long as the heir is a minor, as long as the heir is a child, as long as the heir is immature, he has no advantage over the slave. They're the same. Though legally he owns the entire inheritance, even though he owns everything, he is subject to the tutors and administrators until such date that the father has set for his freedom. So whether you're free or whether you're a slave, if you are the same until a time that God, or the father in this case, has set for you to be free. That's the way it is with us, Paul says. When we were minors, when we were immature, when we were children, we were just like these slaves, ordered around by simple instructions, the tutors and administrators of this world, with no say in the conduct of our own lives. The difference he's going to talk about in these verses is the difference between rules and relationships. You see, when we're little, you tell your kids, and don't get me wrong, I know there's a time when you have to tell your kids, go brush your teeth. Why? Just shut up and go brush your teeth. Because they're too little to understand, right? But there comes a time when you say, hey, go brush your teeth. Why? Because there's bugs in your mouth, and if you don't brush your teeth, those bugs are going to eat your teeth. Right? You follow me? And then there's a time when you say, go brush your teeth. Why? Well, if you don't brush your teeth, here, I'll show you some pictures of what happens when you don't brush your teeth and those bugs eat your teeth, right? You grow with them and you teach them. You don't just give them rules. You grow with them and you tell them the why behind the what. What happens in most places, and what happens in the Jewish culture, and what happens in the Gentile culture is the why was never taught. It was only the what. And anytime you just have the what, you have no relationship. You just have a bunch of religious people, and you just have religion in its entirety. And so you have to figure out, at what point do I introduce the why behind the what? Because by the time that Jesus comes on the scene, all they had was the religious beliefs. They didn't understand what they were doing. They didn't understand where they were going. They didn't understand anything, and Jesus kind of reset everything and said, here's the why behind the what. As soon as Jesus leaves, what do we do as people? Go back to the what? That's just who we are. How many of his parents decided when you were little, before you ever had kids, that I'm not going to do what my parents did to me? Anybody with me? How many of you followed through on that? Yeah, me neither. Some of you did. Thank you. Keep doing that. Here's the difference. You have to have a plan on how not to do that, or you'll get 20 years into the raising your kids and realize you just did to them what was done to you. Because all you knew was the what. And you didn't know the why. That's what happens in religions. If you looked at this video, these kids on the video, they were in this foster system. They just went from home to home to home until finally somebody who loved them immeasurably, who loved them unconditionally, decided they were going to adopt them. But if you listen to them, here's what they said: I never knew love. I never experienced love. I had a rough time. And one of them says this: I had three mother figures, but none of them taught me how to love until this one. I wonder how many, if we just had the opportunity to ask them questions, what made a difference in this place than those other places? And I wonder how many of them would say, I began to understand the why they loved me. Not how they love me, but why they love me, why they were putting this time in, why. You know, the truth is, this just doesn't happen in broken homes. It happens in a lot of homes. It happened in my home, and I did it to my kids. Even in the best homes, many times all the decisions are made by the parents, and the child never understands the why behind the what, or the law, or the rules, or simply taskmasters telling us what to do. I had a troop when I was in the military. He came in. We were at Little Rock, and he would come in every day and didn't brush his teeth. He wouldn't comb his hair. He wouldn't take a bath. He wouldn't wash his clothes. He was just filthy. And so we started taking steps to correct him and ask him one day, why are you doing this? Well, because my parents can't tell me what to do. Okay, your parents can't tell you what to do, but guess what? I'm about to tell you what to do. Now, in a military situation where we deploy and we all stay in the same place and we go to battle and we're in tents and everything, why is it important for somebody to have good hygiene? Multiple reasons. You stink. But there's a deeper reason than that, is because if you get sick, you will infect everybody in this company. He needed to understand why you needed to do it. Not because somebody told you to do it. He needed to understand why he had to do it. What was the reason behind it? What was the purpose behind it? He was never given that. Well, in those days, people just grew up in these religious systems, and whether it was the Jewish system or the Gentile system, they just grew up in these systems, and they became slaves to the system. They became slaves to the rules, and they didn't understand it. You know we still slave to rules today? Maybe these will hit home with you. Maybe you're a slave to religion. How many of you were taught if you don't pray an hour a day, you're not spiritual enough? How many of you were taught if you don't do your devotions every single morning, you're not spiritual enough? How many of you were taught that if you don't go to church on Sunday, you're not spiritual enough? If you don't go to church on Wednesday, you're not spiritual enough? I'm not saying those things are bad, but why are you doing it? You know, you can do all those things and still not know who Jesus is. You know the hardest people to reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ are people that grew up in the church because they don't think they have a need for Jesus. Jesus would say it like this: I came for the sick. I didn't come for those who thought we were well. Let me just clear up the air. We all jacked up. Ain't none of us perfect. Ain't none of us got this right, me included. People always say, well, I thought you had everything planned out. What are you smoking? I know it's legal in this state, but what are you smoking? Because I don't have this figured out. I struggle like everybody else. Here's the difference. I have a relationship with God that I hold on to, that I cling to, that I allow him to speak to me. I don't want to be a slave to religion. I don't want to be a slave to your approval. Just open up Facebook. How many people on Facebook are slaves to your approval? They don't even know me. I get friend requests because I'm a friend of somebody's a friend of somebody of a friend of somebody. I click on it. I don't know who you are. Go away. I don't need you in my life to approve me or to. How many read something on Facebook and go, that's not true? But their entire life is built on you going, I like it. Just one time on somebody like that, click dislike. Boo. Make a bad comment. See how many people attack you because their entire being is based on your approval. A lot of us go to work and we just simply do our job to somebody pat us on the back. I mean, you know, I like being patted on. I like being told that you're good at what you do. Here's the reality. These days, I don't need you to tell me that. I'm good at what I do. That sounds arrogant, but God told me that. I don't need you to tell me that. Don't get me wrong, I love you, and I appreciate when people do that. But I used to thrive on that. If somebody didn't tell me that, I thought I did a bad job. I was convinced I did a bad job. But I don't need your approval. You shouldn't need somebody. The only approval you need is from God. That's it. You're my son. You're my daughter. I'm pleased. Do you know when God said that to his son Jesus? This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. He hadn't done a single thing in this world for ministry except be baptized. Very beginning of his ministry, his father said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. He says that about you before you ever do anything. This is my child. I am well pleased with you. You don't need anybody else's approval. We're slaves to success. My value comes in what I do. My value comes in my career. My value comes in where I live. My value comes in what I own. My value comes in what I drive. I drive a 10-year-old car. My wife drives a 10-year-old car. Actually, mine's older than hers. Mine's a 2010. Hers is a 2013. I don't care. I know how to fix it. You know why? Because God gave me the ability to fix it. It broke this week. This week was a jacked up week. This week was great. That's the reality. The circumstances of your life do not determine your joy. In what you drive and where you live, success has nothing to do with who you are in Christ Jesus. But we become slaves to that. Just like they were slaves to Judaism, slaves to the culture of Greece, and the slaves to the culture of Rome. They were slaves. We are slaves to something. We're slaves to self. How many of you know somebody that everything is based on their feelings? Not gonna be right. I love my feelings because God gave them to me. But I'm not going to make decisions based on those stupid feelings. But you know people that their whole day is wrecked because they got a hangnail. And they're down in the dump. Hey, I'm picking on me too because I did this for 40 years. I could go months without talking to my family because they turned the light off wrong. Don't believe me? Ask them. They have every right to tell you the truth. They squeezed the toothpaste from the wrong place. I'd be all over them. We slaves to ourselves. And as long as we hold on to these religious things, we remain a slave. But Paul would say this in 1 Corinthians 13:11. At just the right time, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But at that right time, I became a man. I put the ways of childhood behind me. Now, I don't think Paul is saying, that one day he decided, I'm going to be a man, and everything is going to be good today. I don't think that's what he's saying. I think what he's saying is there's a time in our life, there's a moment in our life that God's going to touch us, and he's going to reveal something to us, and he's going to show us that is immature, that is childish, that is not who I want you to be. And we, at that moment, get the opportunity to go, I'm not going to do that anymore. I was a child. God showed me I was a child. God showed me I was immature. But I'm not going to do that anymore. I get to be a man. For me, I was very childish. I was very selfish. And then one day, at the right time, at the right moment, at the right place, God broke her leg. And I took complete responsibility and said, I'll never do it again. I'll talk to you about that later. But there's a right time and a right place, and God knows exactly when it is. And he's going to press you to do the right thing. That's who he is. He loves you that much. And he wants you to understand it's not about rules. And that was what I was stuck on. All these rules that I was raised in, all these things that was going on, and I just didn't want anything to do with that. I didn't want anything to do with that. And at that moment, God said, it's not about the rules, it's about a relationship. And he literally said to me, what else am I going to have to do to get your attention? Just like that. And I know people, this is just how God talks to me. And I said absolutely nothing at that moment. I knew who he was, and I knew that I was in his arms. Life's never been the same. Now, don't get me wrong. It didn't all get better right then. That's a process. Verses 4 and 5, we are under the elemental spiritual forces of this world. We're under religion, the ABCs, the basic elements. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoptions as sons. Throughout the world, God has come in and showed us a relationship. He's had a relationship with Abraham. He had a relationship with Moses. He gave Moses the law to show us that we can't do this on our own. But man has always taken the things that God has given us to show us the relationship, and we've twisted them and made them these rules that we got to live by, always. Jesus set all that straight. Jesus had the ultimate relationship with God. And he comes and he sets everything straight. What happens the moment that Jesus is no longer with us? We go back to the rules. We go back to what we know. That's why I ask, how many of you have ever said, I'm not going to do that to my kids? And you did it anyway. Why? Because the rules will dominate us if we don't understand and we don't embrace the why behind them. Jesus said it's about a relationship. Paul tells us about relationship. These ABCs, how many teach your kids the ABCs? A, B, C, D, E, F, G. See, you guys have been taught them too. Right? And did you teach these to your kids, or were you taught them just to recite the ABCs? Maybe when you got a DUI? No, just kidding. Did you just teach them to learn the ABCs, or did you teach them so they'd learn how to read, so they'd pick up a book, so they'd be productive in society, so that they could get into the world? You didn't teach them the ABCs just to recite this stupid little song. You taught them the ABCs so that they could progress in life. And when it comes to the rules that God has given us, the laws that God has given us, not just the laws of the Jewish people, but the laws of the land, they are all to point us to him. They're not just the elemental principles. They will literally, if we're focused, if we're understanding, they will. It says all of creation points to him. What greater thing do you want than that? Everything. Well, it's not just about the rules. It's much more than that. Here's some rules that, and I'm sorry, I'm a cartoon guy, and I like Jim Carrey, and What's the Christmas movie? Grinch. So this is in my head, this is how this is said. Your hair is too long. Your dress is too short. You smoke. You drink. You belong to the wrong party. You don't have enough followers. You play sports. You don't play sports. Rules, rules, rules. The law was never meant about checking boxes. The law has always been there to point us to Jesus. Just the right time. At just the right time, God gave us his son. And he adopted us. Do you understand that in those days, we like this little clip, the adoption is teens. The majority of the adoption in our culture, in our country, is on babies. Why is it on babies? Because they're so cute. I get to start fresh with them. I'm not against adopted babies. We're finally starting to push beyond that and adopt older kids, teens. But in this day, you know who they were adopting? Full-blown adults. Why were they adopting adults in this day? This wasn't kids that they were talking about. He wasn't talking about you were adopted as a baby. That's our framework. He was talking about you were adopting adults. This blew me away. There are seven Caesars, seven emperors who were adopted. They are not biological heirs of the Caesar before them. Why is that? Because they were looking for somebody who could carry on the name. They were looking for somebody who could continue moving things forward. Jesus is not looking for some cute little kid. He's looking for you who will bear his name. That's who he's adopting. That is who you are. As you look at that video, I just look at that, and I don't know how you can't be moved. That father says, "That's my son." He doesn't say, "That's my adopted son." He says, "That is my son." The kids would say things like this: "I felt love, true love, for the first time. I knew I wanted to be adopted by him. They love me no matter what I did and no matter what I'll do." That is adoption. Because God looks at you and says, "I don't care where you've been. I don't care where you're going. I don't care what happened. I don't care what's going to happen. I'm going to love you because I created you. I have a plan for you, and I will adopt you." Period. That's the adoption that he's talking about here. Just the right time, God reached out to you and offered you the opportunity to pull away from childish things and follow him. Become his true child to the experience, the joys of his family, his freedom, his peace, his forgiveness, his mercy, to experience his name, his spirit, his love. What he really wants is for you to know and embrace the reality that Papa has you. That's it. You read these last two verses. Paul says this: because you are his sons, because he is your father, he sent the spirit of his son to dwell in your heart. And that spirit, the Holy Spirit, cries out, "Abba, Father, Papa, Daddy." Just like Izzy walked in here, she looked at Don, she said, "Papa, I'm going to miss you. Papa, I love you. Papa, this world wouldn't be the same without you." That's what God says to you every day of your life. This is my home, and that is my dad. I grew up in an environment where my father was a jerk. Maybe you did too. My dad was an alcoholic. He wasn't a good father figure. He left when I was one. That may have been a good thing. He was an angry man. He beat my mom. He drank all the time. In fact, my brother would call him a functional alcoholic. He went to live with him for a while. My mom married another guy. He's my stepdad. He never claimed us. Those are Carolyn's kids. I don't want anything to do with them. I'm not paying for them. Listen, I'm not picking on them, either one of them. I don't even know my dad, but I love my dad. I know my stepfather. I love my stepfather. They're both gone. It is up to God on where they're at. This was just a reality. This was just a reality. This was their journey. They were simply doing what they were taught. They were raised in a place where rules ruled and relationship was missing. And they just did what they knew to do. They don't live in a time where we can embrace this kind of stuff and talk about it and live it and change it. They just lived in a different time. But because of the story that I grew up with, because of my upbringing, I spent years wondering what the father was supposed to be. And I screwed my kids up. I did. But that longing to know and to understand what a father is has never left me. You want to know why? Because God put it in us to know and long for a father. And when it's missing, it will come to surface. It just does. That's how he created us. But because of my story, the story that Papa is writing in me, I'm a different person these days. Ask my kids, ask my grandkids. I want my kids and grandkids to see the father, to see Papa in me. I want to illustrate it the best I can with this, and then we're going to close. As I was growing up, I was always taught to shut up and take it. Anybody with me? Either stop crying or give you something to cry about. You know, childhood fears are real. How many of you were fearful of needles? Yeah, me too. You ever been slammed against a wall by a nurse? And a needle shoved in your arm while your mom looked? You ever been held down, tied down while a dentist drilled in your mouth? You ever been tied to a gurney while they stitched up your head and nobody was there to hold you? Those are all my realities. And I swore, this is one thing I got right. I swore when I had kids, they'd never know fear if I couldn't stop it. And so I can remember taking my daughter in and knowing she had to get shots and just holding her and hugging her and knowing the pain was coming, but just gently just holding her. I can remember one time she had to get blood. She was 4 years old, and the little girl did really good. She stuck it right in, forgot what she was doing. Took her hand off the needle before she had got the blood out and shot the needle out, and blood squirted across the room. Can you imagine the blood-curdling scream of a four-year-old as blood rushed out of her body? I just held her. I just kept telling her to be okay. And that girl came back with the needle. I said, "You're crazy. Go get somebody else. Sorry. You don't get to do this again." Ashley, as my grandkids got older, we had grandkids, she would tell them, "You take Papa with you. He'll make the pain go away." And so I remember walking in with Hallie and holding her and loving on her and just telling her to be okay as she got shots. They had to go see a dentist. But what really got me was when they would come up and go, "Papa, I just want you to come with me." And so I would go to the dentist. And there's pictures on Facebook of this. And I would get in the dental chair and I'd put them on my chest. It's a fearful thing. And I would whisper to them, "I'm so proud of you. I know it's scary. Just think about the beach. Think about a pool. I'll get you ice cream when we're done." But I didn't want them to go through fear without me in their presence. And they would come up and they would constantly go, "Papa, can you come with us? Can you just go with me?" They never asked me once, "Can you explain what they're going to do?" They never asked me once, "Is the needle sterile?" They never asked me once what the dentist degree was in. They never asked me any of those stupid, rule-ridden questions. All they ever said was, "Papa, can you come with me?" That's exactly what Paul is saying here when he said the Spirit comes in us. And the Spirit cries out, "Papa, Papa." God says, "I got you. I got you." It's not theological or rule language. It's family language. It isn't the cry of someone who knows all the answers. It's a cry of someone who knows they aren't alone. I got you. Got you. When my grandbabies climbed up in my lap, they thought they were holding on to me. The truth is, I was holding on to them. That's the gospel. When we crawl up into God's lap and we think we're holding on to Him, He's got us. Always has and always will. Father, we love You. We praise You. And we thank You that You have us. We thank You that when we crawl up into Your lap, You hold on to us for dear life. That there's nothing in this world that we don't go through that You don't take care of. Even in our darkest days, You still have us. And we thank You for that. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.